Okay, so let's learn a little bit about Hilchos Pesach. We'll see what we can cover. Maybe we'll learn for about a half hour or so. So let's start. We'll talk about cleaning and kashering mostly tonight. Maybe we'll do a little bit about Bedikas Chametz. So it's important to recognize that there's a major distinction between cleaning for Chametz and spring cleaning. Right? Sometimes people get carried away and think that, you know, they have to organize their closets and everything, you know, spring cleaning time. So obviously that's not the halacha. The halacha is that we have to clean for chametz, not spring cleaning. Now the Gemara tells us that midel raisa, bito ba'al nasagi. The Gemara says as long as you do bito, right, you make a verbal declaration that any chametz that's in your possession is hefker, is ownerless, is ka'afra da alma. So that's enough. But midel rabbanon, we require bedikas chametz. There's a question in the Rishonim exactly why. Tosfos says because since chametz is something that you eat all year long, so we're afraid that maybe you're going to eat it on Pesach if you see it. If you just did bittul, but you see l'maisa, you see the chametz, and maybe you'll eat it during Pesach as well. So because of that, we have a lot of chumras on Pesach because it's something that we eat all year long, and you know we might come to eat it. We have a lot of chumras. Normally we say bittul b'shishim, right? If something tray falls into something kosher, we can be mevatel b'shishim. We don't say that when it comes to chametz. It's us rafilu b'mashu. There's no bittul at all.
That's midravah.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. If you're eating at a table with somebody eating treif, you know, that's fine. You know, he eats his treif and I eat my kosher, nothing to worry about because I would never come to eat treif.
Wow.
But on Pesach, if you have a guy eating chametz, right, a kosher chametz sandwich, and I'm eating, a matzah,
so you need
some sort of a heker, just like basar b'chalav, you need some sort of a heker because chametz is something that we would normally eat, right, assuming it's kosher. So things like that, we have certain chumras, things like that. That's why also you're not supposed to stay in a place that's not cleaned for Pesach. That's why, you know, even people going away, but if people are using their home, they really have to clean it for Pesach, or at least close off the areas that are not cleaned, you know, close the door and put up a sign that says chametz. So we're very careful about that kind of thing. But because the whole concern, according to Tosfos, is that we're worried somebody's going to come to eat the chametz, so we're not concerned about that when it comes to little crumbs. Right. So technically speaking, mi'ikar adin, you don't have to be, you know, sweeping up all the little crumbs all over your house because no one's going to come to eat all those little crumbs. In the kitchen, we have to be very careful because in the kitchen, we know that even a little crumb of chametz that gets into your Pesach food is going to, you know, trafe up the whole food. So that we have to be very careful even for crumbs. But, you know, my living room, my den, a few little crumbs of chametz, nothing's going to happen. However, the Rush does say, based on the Yerushalmi, that women used to have the minhag to clean their walls. Right? So obviously, what's that based on? So it's based on Yisrael Kedoshim Haim, says the Rush, and they tried to get rid of every little speck of chametz, and it seems to be it's like a chumrah, but it's a chumrah already that's brought by the Rush based on a Yerushalmi. It's an old chumrah, Yisrael Kedoshim, and based on that, a lot of people still go crazy today to try to get rid of every speck of chametz that's possible. Also, Alpi Kabbalah, the Rush
was right.
There's an old, it's an old minhag. Alpi Kabbalah, also, there's also a reason to get rid of all the chametz. The chametz is like the Yitzhar Har, you want to get rid of every little speck. So Alpi Kabbalah, also, people are very careful. But again, it's a chumrah, and it's Alpi Kabbalah. So, you know, you could try to do it, but, you know, a person can't make themselves meshuga, going after each and every crumb. If it's a big tircha, so, you know, we don't have to do it. That's why there are many poskim that are makel. So you'll find in some svarim that you have to clean out your svarim. You know, you have to go through all the svarim and make sure there's no chametz. Many poskim are makel, and they say you don't have to go through every single sefer. It's crazy. You know, people have big libraries that go through every sefer. You know, they're gonna go nuts.
Only the ones you use.
Well, if you don't use them, then for sure. If you haven't used it since last Pesach, then you don't have to worry any chametz is in there.
You have to go through the Bar Ilan thing on the computer.
Right, exactly. But Me'ikar Adin, really, you just have to, you know, if you know that there's a sefer that you use at the table with chametz, so then just don't bring that sefer to the table on Pesach. You know, you'll learn it in your office, in the living room, or something like that. But really, that's really the main concern. But that's when it comes to cleaning. So again, we really have to clean. Obviously, you clean only the areas where the chametz is brought. If a person has little kids around, like, you know, in my case, you have little children, it really depends. If they're the type of kids that, you know, are holding pretzels all the time and they stick them in their socks and they stick them in their toys, so you have to go a little, you know, you have to make yourself a little crazy making sure you find all those pretzels and everything. But if you have a chametz that's behind heavy furniture, chametz that's in vents and things like, you know, it's hard to get to, and, you know, we're not concerned You know, we don't think on Pesach that someone's going to move their refrigerator and take a piece of chametz out from behind their refrigerator. So technically speaking, you don't have to move your refrigerator. Again, Yisrael Kedoshim, some people want to. They want to get rid of everything. But Meikar Adin, there's no, you don't have to move appliances and check behind the appliances because, you know, we're not concerned people are going to go there. Clothing has to be checked. Pockets, you know, especially people sometimes put things in their pockets. You know, they're at a kiddush and they stick some things in their pockets. You know, especially kids' pockets. But, you know, pockets should be checked and things like that. Obviously, anything that's used with chametz, like we said, sfarim that you bring to the table, don't bring to the table on Pesach. Benches, you know, obviously our minhag is that we use different benches. Benches get dirty, so we use different benches and things like that. You know, kids have chametz in toys. So, you know, just make sure there's no pretzels, you know. But you don't have to worry about, like, little crumbs that might get stuck or the grime that's on toys. You know, you don't have to go crazy, start bathing, you know, putting all the toys in the bathtub and scrubbing them. You know, it's not, again, Yisrael Kedoshim, if you want to do it, that's fine, but it's a chumrah, certainly not Meikar Adin. Any chametz outside, we assume is going to be eaten up by birds or animals or things like that. You know, check and make sure there's no sandwiches, you know, if a kid left a sandwich outside. So, you know, you have to just take a look around, but you don't have to, like, go with a flashlight looking outside for bedikas chametz. Appliances that are hard to clean, like toasters and mixers and things like that, you clean them the best you can. And then you just sell any chametz in them to the guy.
You have to sell the whole appliance?
Oh, so the reason why you can't sell the appliance is because if you sell the appliance, then you have to do a tevila when you buy it back.
You don't tovel anyway.
I'm sorry? Like, yeah, but the grates and things like that you'll have to tovel. You know, like the grates you'll have to tovel or, you know. But technically you're not going to do that. But depending on what it is.
What do you have to tovel when you get it back?
Because you bought it from a guy. Meaning if a guy owns a dish and you buy it from him, you have to tovel it.
Well, when we sell the chametz, we never sell the...
So we never sell the kli. That's why if you listen to my nusach, when I arrange for the sale of the chametz, I always say, any bits of chametz that are stuck on pots and pans, that's what we're selling. We're not selling the actual kli. We're selling the chametz that's there, that's stuck, that's hard to clean.
How about when you sell the house? Like that.
So when you sell the house, you don't have to tovel your house. But when you sell the house, it's fine.
You're selling the house with the contents. No?
Yeah, but you're not selling the kelim. You know, we're not, mm-hmm. we make that clear that we're not selling the actual kelim. We're just selling. You know, we're renting out the house. That's fine, and we're selling any chametz in the house. We're not selling the actual kelim. Okay, so we hold that there is a chumrah, but we hold that any areas that are going to be sold or rented to a guy don't have to be checked. So people who are going away and rent out their house with, you know. We don't have to check those areas. Again, there is a chumrah, the chayyadim is machmir, but our minhag is to be lenient, that we don't have to check those areas. There is a sheet of the Rav Yah that every person has to do a bedikas chametz. It's like a chiyuv on the gavra, on the person. Every person has to do a bedikas chametz. And that's why we write on the shtar that if you're going away, you can rent out your whole house with the exception of one room. And you leave one room, and that way one room is your room. You're not renting that room out to the guy, and therefore that room, you're chayv to do bedikas chametz on, and you'll be yotze, your obligation to do bedikas chametz on that room. Now, people going away, sometimes we'll have to do bedikas chametz anyway where they're going, you know, in the hotel room or whatever the case might be, but, you know, we leave one area
so,
in our room, you know,
so
in our house.
Is a chiyuv gavra?
According to the, it's a sheet of the Rav Yah. There's one sheet of the Rav Yah like that, and you know, we're machmer.
So many people going to their parents for Pesach, and they're not going to be in their apartment, they slept in
right.
The bedikah.
So it's good for them still to do bedikah, yeah. Yeah, it's better for them to do a bedikah as chametz before they leave. Again, that's why we try to do it on one room. You can rent out your whole house, except for one room, so you don't have to make yourself crazy cleaning the whole house. But this way you have a kiyum of bedikas chametz. Okay, let's talk a little bit about kashering. So when it comes to kashering, we know the principle of kibolo kach polto.
Right.
Kibolo kach polto means that just like a kli absorbed the treif chametic type of blios, so that's how you get it out, that's how you get the blios out. So anything that's used with, suspected is used with hot things, so we do hagala, right? Hagalas kelim. So we do hagalas kelim, and you know, people like to use their bechers, some people like to use maybe some silverware they want to kasher, whatever the case might be. So you can kasher those things for Pesach. Now normally when you kasher something, so we use a pot that's eino ben yoma, a pot that has not been used in 24 hours, any tam, any taste that's in that pot is considered to be nosin tam levgam. And we use that pot to kasher. On Pesach, because we're a little bit more machmir, chumrah de Pesach, we're more machmir about everything, so an eino ben yomo pot is not enough, but we have to kasher the pot before we use it for hagalas kelim. So if you want to use a regular pot, you have to kasher the pot before you use it for hagalas kelim, And the minhag is that we kasher it after you do Hagalas Kelim also, before you use it for Pesach. So we take a Pesach, take a pot, you kasher it, right? You kasher it before you do the Hagalah, you do the Hagalah, and then you kasher it again. How do you kasher a pot? You have to fill it up with boiling water, and then keep filling it up till the boiling water overflows and then goes over the sides and kashers the sides of the pot. It's a little messy, and it's a little bit tedious to be kashering, re-kashering. So what I always recommend is, number one, either going to one of these places that does a Hagalas Kelim. Like here we have Isha Yisrael. They had one, I sent out the flyer, I think, a little while ago. But they had one on Sunday. They're doing another one on Thursday. They have a big pot that they just use for Hagalas Kelim. If you have a special pot for Hagalas Kelim for Pesach, you don't need to kasher it. This is my Hagalas Kelim pot. Or if you want to do it yourself, I do it myself. I went to Amazing Savings one year. I bought myself a cheap pot, the cheapest pot they had. And I write kashering or Pesach kashering pot on it, and that's my kashering pot. And that's it. You don't even have to tovel the pot because you're not using it for food. You're just using it for kashering. I have a kashering pot, and this way every year I do Hagalas Kelim myself. I fill up the, I don't have to kasher the pot. It's fine. It's kosher, and I fill it up with boiling water. Right, the water has to be brought to a rolling boil, and I put in the whatever I want to kasher. Leave it in there for 10-15 seconds. Take it out, rinse it in cold water, and you're good.
That's it.
Yeah, yeah. You can even kasher when you kasher things. You can even kasher them one half at a time. So you could take a knife. You could stick half of the knife in, leave it there for 10-15 seconds. Take it out. Stick the other half in 10-15 seconds. Take it out. Rinse it under cold water, and it's kosher.
How long does the pot remain boiling?
Leave it on the fire.
Yeah, you leave it on the fire. Yeah, you leave it on the fire. If you take it off the fire, it will stop boiling pretty quickly. Yeah, usually. So that's Hagalah. Now let's talk about kashering the kitchen. So let's do countertops first. The real chashash with countertops is that maybe hot chametz might spill on them. And this happens, you know, if somebody has a chametz for soup, you know, they have or a chalent or something, or, you know, or noodles, you know, hot liquid might come and spill on the countertops. So we have to kasher the countertops. The problem with most countertops is that the real countertops that can be koshered is really only granite countertops, because granite countertops are stone, and stone can be koshered. So we can kosher granite countertops. Many other countertops which are made from other materials cannot be koshered. So for example, formica, which is plastic, there is a machlokas if you can kosher plastic. During the year, many poskim are makel to kosher plastic, but on Pesach, many poskim are machmir, not to kosher plastic for Pesach. So I usually recommend not koshering plastic for Pesach. Corian, which is also a type of synthetic material. Silestone, which is a compound made of quartz and other things. Quartz, which is a stone composite, which is pieces of stone that's held together by a resin. So all these things, I do not recommend koshering them. Mm-hmm. The resin that holds together the quartz is a synthetic resin, which is like plastic. So many poskim say that it's not a good idea to kosher that. You will find in some publications, I believe, that the OU, for sure last year, I'm not sure about this year, but I think last year they wrote that you can kosher quartz countertops. So you will find people who say that you can, but I generally don't recommend it. But granted, you certainly can kosher. And other things, you know, other types of countertops, you just cover.
You know, if you just cover, you kosher the granite?
So we'll get to that in a second. So if you're not koshering, what you do is you just clean it well, make sure it's clean, and then you cover it with something heavy duty, you know, a durable plastic or a plexiglass, or people have all sorts of different methods of covering their countertops. But you cover it. It's also a good idea to cover the, an inch or two of the backsplash behind the countertops. Why? Because a lot of times, you know, things touch there, things splash there. So it's not a bad idea just to, you know, in addition to covering the countertops, to cover the little that little piece behind. If you want to kosher the granite, what you have to do is, number one, you can't use it for 24 hours before to make sure that any tam that's there is eino ben yomo. That's number one. And then what we do is we do iruy kli rishon, which means we take a boiling water from a kli rishon and we pour it over the countertop to clean it. We use a pesachtik pot to do that. Don't use a chametz pot to pour the water. Use a pesachtik pot, or you can use your special koshering pot if you have a special koshering pot.
How about a teapot? You know,
one day pesachtik.
No, I'm saying you don't use it to boil water all year round.
The only thing is you have to be careful sometimes, because sometimes teapots are sometimes you leave them on and then they get splattered with things. You know, if it's really never been touched or used or anything, then it's fine, but. You have to be careful, because sometimes teapots and things like that, especially things that you leave on or near the stove get dirty and they get, you know, things splash on them. So you have to be careful about that. But if it was never used for chametz, you never washed with chametz, you can use it. So that's what you do. Iroi Kli Rishon. Now the problem is that you really have to touch the stream of the Kli Rishon. Really has to touch every part of the countertop. It's not enough just to dump a bucket of water on or dump a pot of water and just have the water run over the countertop. Right. Because then by the time it gets down there, it's cold water. It's not hot water anymore. It's not Iroi Kli Rishon. So really, the stream has to hit the whole countertop. It's very difficult to do that. It's possible, but it's a little hard to do, and it's also very messy.
How about using a steamer?
Hot water goes everywhere. So some people recommend the steamer. The only thing with the steamer is that you have to make sure that the steamer is really hot. And so my understanding is that there, I'm not a big expert in steamers, but my understanding is that there are two types of steamers, and there's like the layman steamer and then the commercial steamers. Commercial steamers, my understanding is that they do get hot enough. But because the steam also the heat of the steam dissipates very quickly. So you have to make sure that the steam is really hot. It's Yad Seledesmo, and the hot steam is coming into contact with the countertop. So it's possible, but you have to just make sure you have the right kind of steamer and you're doing it in the right way. If you hold it over here and it's steaming down, by the time it gets here, it's going to be cold steam. So it's garnished helfen, as they say. It's not going to help you. So you can do it, but it's a little bit messy, and you have to be careful exactly how to do it. Some do raise the problem that one thing that Iroi Kli Rishon won't help you with is let's say you have a davar gush, like a hot noodles, like a hot solid item, a hot challah, hot noodles, and sometimes people put it a hot challah, take it off the blech, and sometimes they put a hot challah directly down on the countertop, or they take hot noodles. They spill the hot noodles, fall off and they spill onto the countertop, or a hot piece of chicken sometimes slips off and will fall onto the countertop. The problem with the davar gush hitting the countertop is that some shitos hold that a davar gush has the status of a kli rishon, and therefore iroi kli rishon, pouring from a kli rishon, is not going to kasher that. You need an actual kli rishon to kasher that. So that's a problem exactly how to do that. There is a method of kashering it with an Evan Mulubenes, which is a hot stone,
yeah.
And you take the hot stone and you pour the hot water onto the hot stone and you move the hot stone all over the countertop. It's possible, but again, we're getting very tricky and very messy. So if you don't do that, then the recommendation is just don't put hot things directly onto the countertop. Even if you kosher your granite, put something down first. Don't put hot things directly on the countertop. Put a trivet or something or a towel down, before putting hot things directly on the countertop. I sometimes tell people that even if you have a granite, it might just be easier just to cover the whole thing. I know it doesn't look nice, it's for Pesach, it's 8 days, it's not so bad.
Right.
You live with it for a little while as opposed to making yourself crazy, koshering it and maybe not doing it properly and things like that. So that's in terms of countertops. Now when it comes to, let's move to the sinks. So when it comes to sinks, only stainless steel sinks can be koshered. Other types of sinks, which are porcelain or enamel, or other types of sinks, cannot be kashered for Pesach. Those sinks just have to be covered. The best way to do it is to buy. They have these plastic sink inserts.
Yeah.
You just buy that, you stick it in, and you're good to go. Just try to make sure the insert is not resting, mamish on the bottom of the sink, because sometimes things get clogged up or blocked up, and the water is going to rise, and then you have the hot water from the bottom of the sink coming into the insert. Not a great idea. So just, but usually the sink inserts anyway is not as deep as your sink. So usually you're okay with that. But a stainless steel sink can be koshered. How do you kosher it? So you got to clean it well. Clean it very well. Sinks do get very dirty. So clean it very well. And make sure also when you clean it, some areas of the sink, sometimes people have a granite countertop or a quartz countertop, and the sink is recessed under the countertop. So then you have to be careful to clean, especially underneath the granite, like where the sink meets the granite. There can get a lot of schmutz there, and that's not often cleaned because you don't see it usually. So the areas that you see, you clean, or the cleaning lady cleans, but a lot of times the under area, it doesn't get so clean, so make sure to clean that area. And it's probably a good idea also, I heard one posek once recommended to me, which is a very good idea, that any areas like that, after you clean them, you spritz them with something like a caustic type of cleaner, and that will be pogame any time.
That will
ruin any time, anything that's there, that will ruin it. And also, you know, especially also by the drain, where it's also hard to clean. Sometimes, you know, it's hard to get into the grooves by the drain or down the if people have a garbage disposal, you know, sometimes, you know, it's a good idea to just pour some cleanser down there just to be pogame anytime. Sometimes things do, you know, blocks up and it bubbles up and you don't want to get any chametz coming up. So it's a good idea just to obviously run the garbage disposal, but it's a good idea to pour something down the sink, which is caustic and something that can just be pogame anytime in the sink. Don't use the sink after you clean it. Wait 24 hours. You know, make sure that the sink is not being used for anything hot during those 24 hours. You can use it for cold water, but make sure it's not used for anything hot. So either, you know, put something over
this
the hot.
After you tash it or before?
No. After you clean it. Clean it first.
Right.
Wait 24 hours.
And then
Use it for anything hot during those 24 hours. Same thing with the countertops. I'm not sure if I mentioned that, but wait 24 hours and don't use it for anything hot. And then you can kosher it. When you kosher it, the sink should be dry. Boil hot water. Again, bring it to a rolling boil in a pot, a Pesach thick pot or a kettle or whatever you want to use. Take it and then pour it. Yeah, again, you have to the irui, the pour. You know that
stream.
The stream. Thank you. Has to hit every spot of the sink. So it's tedious. It takes time, especially if you have two sinks. You know, it's going to take time to kosher them. You know, do one side at a time. You know, take the pot and just go like down or go up. You know, however you want to do it. But you go do one side at a time, you do the bottom, you know, you got to do the whole sink, everything around the sink, pour it over the faucets and the handles, you know, and if you have like a hot water tap, it's a good idea to do that. You know, I also saw recommended, which is good, that if you have an instant hot, turn on the instant hot and let the instant hot run through it, and then pour boiling water over it at the same time. So that way you really kosher it. And the same thing with the sink. You can, you know, once you kosher the rest of the sink, turn the hot water on, you know, the hose, and you can kosher the whole hose. And all those things can be kashered. Part of the problem with a sink is the same problem with the countertop. That sometimes you might have like hot noodles that fall right into the sink. Right?
Right.
People are draining their noodles. It happens all the time. You're draining your hot noodles and they're falling right into the sink. So that's real chametz. It's a davar gush. Might be a kli rishon falling right into the sink. So that's why also they recommend, you know, even once you kasher your stainless steel sink, don't put things, you know, don't let things rest directly. Don't let things rest directly on the bottom of the sink. Use some sort of a grate, you know, buy a grate and use it so that things don't use it directly. There are people who are very creative and try to kosher the sink in a way where the whole sink becomes like a kli rishon. So there are people who, like, you know, they'll stuff up their sink and they put it in with hot water and they take a hot Evan Milubenis and put it in the sink and the whole thing bubbles up and then the whole sink becomes a kli rishon. But it's a little bit risky, you know, it's a little messy. So you know, it's exactly. You should also buy a new a strainer. You know, they have those little strainers in the sink. Buy a new one for Pesach. Cost a couple dollars. Those things are very hard to kosher and to clean properly. So that's when it comes to the sink. When it comes to the oven, we discussed it in shul briefly yesterday. But when it comes to the oven, number one, the first thing you got to do is to clean outside of the gasket. When you open the oven door, there's a rubber gasket that keeps the heat in. So you have to clean outside the gasket. Even if you have a self-cleaning oven, the self-clean function does not clean that area.
Right.
So make sure, you know, both on the door of the oven and on the oven itself, the area outside of the gasket is very clean. Make sure there's nothing there. If you have a self-clean oven, it's easy. Just turn it on, let the self-clean run. And once it self-cleans itself, it gets to a high enough temperature that it's considered to be libun, and it kashers the... It kashers the oven. Anything that's left inside that's ash or, you know,
right,
like burnt up is fine. It's not, you don't have to worry about it. And your oven is kosher for Pesach. If you do not have a self-clean oven, so then it's a little bit tricky, and that's because we generally do not kasher enamel for Pesach, and ovens are lined with enamel. That lining of the oven, which is the speckled, you know, that grayish paint with the white speckles, that's enamel lining. So we don't kosher enamel for Pesach. So what we do, what we say is that what Poskim recommend is that you should try to kosher the oven, okay? The way that we kosher the oven is by cleaning it very well. You know, use Easy Off and make sure that all the spots are clean. It's tedious to clean an oven, you know, the pre-self-clean days. But to make sure it's very clean. And then turn the oven on the highest setting and let it run on the highest setting for 45 minutes.
Broil, which is...
no, even just a regular 550 or whatever on bake is fine.
I thought the broil is that.
Yeah, it gets hot enough that it'll clean. It's not libun gamur, but it'll clean. It'll be not clean. It'll
what about the kashrus?
Leave the racks in. Clean the racks and leave them in. And that kashrus.
On some of the ovens that have self-cleaning, they tell you not to leave the racks in.
Really? Because it'll ruin the racks.
Near the high end, like the Vikings, the Wolf.
Okay, so in that case, so what you should do is self-clean the oven first.
Right.
And then clean the racks separately.
Right.
And then put them back in, turn the oven on 550 and leave it in for 45 minutes. That'll kosher the racks.
Okay.
Yeah. That's what you should do with the racks. And what we say is in a non-self-cleaning oven, because it's enamel and we're machmer, not to kosher enamel. So after you've koshered your oven, you can use it, but don't use it for uncovered liquidy things. Uncovered liquidy things, which are going to fill with steam and splatter, don't use it for that. Dry things you can certainly use it for, and liquid things, just cover. If you cover the liquid things, then it's okay.
No, if you leave it with a blowtorch,
you're good.
No, but how hot does the metal have to get? Does it have to be red?
That's a good question. So the halach,
like I tried blowtorching today.
Right.
thank God I didn't burn anything down.
Yeah.
But like, I kept on.
It's not
going to
get red hot. But
right. It didn't. Yeah. I mean, it burnt off all the chazarai that was on there, all the grease and everything from the racks.
Yeah, it has to get hot. It has to get hot enough.
But I don't. I mean, it's gold colored and it's still, you know.
Right. So the postman say it has to get hot enough that either sparks are coming out. Now, again, I don't know that that's going to happen with your metal, or that if you would touch something, you would take like a twig, and you would touch it to that metal, the twig would catch on fire. So it's hard to measure that exactly, but. You know, it's not going to get red hot. Obviously, that type of metal is not going to get red hot from your blowtorch. Okay, so that's
a tempered metal because people you're using it in
it's very hot. Yeah. Now, in terms of the stovetop, so the stovetop, you know, clean the stovetop very well. The whole stovetop, we'll talk about the grates in a second, but just take the grates off, cover the whole thing because the whole thing gets dirty and trafe and everything. So just clean it well, then cover it with like a heavy-duty aluminum foil. Make sure you don't cover the vents because that's dangerous. Leave the vents open. And then if you have a gas stovetop, so just take the grates, and you have to kosher those grates. So take them, clean them very well, make sure they're clean.
Put them in the self-cleaning oven.
So you could do that, but the problem is also that sometimes damages them. Sometimes it cracks the paint and things like that.
Yeah.
So instead of self-cleaning them, what you could do is, after you've koshered your oven, and you've cleaned the grates, turn the oven on 550, right, the highest setting, and put the grates in, just like the racks inside. Put the grates in, leave them there for 45 minutes, and they're kosher. If you have an electric stovetop, it's even easier, because you just heat up the coils. You turn on the coils until the coils get red hot.
Yeah.
Turn them on high, they get red hot, they're kosher. If you have a glass stovetop, it's very tricky, and just, you know, you could talk to me privately. Knobs don't have to be kosher. They just clean them very well. You know, you can take them off, clean them. They're plastic, and they're not really trafe. Just clean them very well. Microwaves, we generally don't kosher. Again, the inside of microwaves is plastic, so I generally don't recommend koshering plastic for Pesach. So either do without the microwave or buy a special Pesach microwave. Microwaves are
you can't like run it with.
Yeah, I don't recommend it for Pesach because the whole thing inside is plastic. So, and many poskim are not excited about kashering plastic for Pesach.
The water for 3 minutes or something like that.
Yeah, not for Pesach. I don't recommend it for Pesach. During the year, we say that you can do that if it got dirty or if it got treif. You know, you could do that.
You know, Rav does recommend it for Pesach.
There are people. Yeah. Okay. Now a dishwasher. Also, I don't recommend kashering a dishwasher for Pesach because dishwashers are very hard to clean. There's a lot of nooks and crannies and little crevices, and a lot of times you have food that gets stuck there, and it's hard to get in and like really clean everything out. And if you can't clean it properly, then you can't kosher it. Koshering only works when something is cleaned well. So I don't recommend, you know, many don't recommend kashering dishwashers.
How about the high-end
dishwashers?
The high-end dishwashers, there.
If it's stainless steel.
Stainless steel.
And
they have all the filters, you know.
If it's possible, again, if it's possible to do it. I'm not so familiar with all the different models, but if it's stainless steel and it's really possible to clean everything, then it could be, you know, maybe get new racks and things like that. But it's, in general, you know, for most regular dishwashers, I don't recommend it. Warming drawers should not be koshered. Yeah. Hot plates should not be koshered. Any urns that are used for chametz should not be kosher, because again they have the you know, you have, if you use it for oatmeal or things like that, if you have the plastic spout on right. the urns, it's, you know, the steam from the oatmeal is gonna you know, make it chametz, and it's plastic.
What happens if you just use it like the urns on Shabbos?
If you right.
only use it for hot water, you know.
So if you just use it for hot water, it really is okay.
Yeah.
Just have to make sure, you know, that it doesn't, it's not something that gets dirty. You know, I personally get nervous when things are left on counters and, you know, there's a lot of schmutz and things splash and it gets dirty. So, but if it's really clean and you keep it off to the side and nothing ever touches it, never comes in contact with any chametz, you know, you don't wash it with a chametz stick sponge or things like that.
No.
So then really it's...
we don't keep it on the counter all week. We just take it out for Shabbos.
So then, really it could be fine. You know, it could be fine. You know, but a lot of times people do use it for chametz, or they leave it on the counter.
What about the coffee machines?
Oh, okay. So coffee machines, depending on the type of coffee machine, if it's a coffee machine that has plastic parts, so then, you know, again, I don't recommend koshering the plastic parts unless you can, you know, interchange the parts and get a new one. You know, the Keurig machines, it's interesting. The Star K says that if you use the Keurig machines, you know, only for coffee, not
right.
for any chametz.
Not for the...
You know, you're not using it for
flavored
oatmeal
coffee.
Or... They say even flavored coffee. So they say that you can kosher it if you replace the K-cup holder. I don't have a Keurig, so I'm not 100%.
What's a Keurig?
A Keurig, I mean,
you
if you don't know, yeah, it's a fancy
coffee that you put in
those
the
little pods.
Like a little pod that you put in there.
Yeah, a lot of workplaces have them now, and people have them at home. So the Star K has a way of doing it. They say that you should replace the K-cup holder,
mm-hmm.
And then you can run a cycle through, which koshers a pin. There's a metal pin at
right.
the top. So that metal pin has to be koshered, and that's how you would do it. But again, that's only if you don't use it for chametz. People use it for chametz, so you can't do it like that. So that's in terms of the Keurig machines. So again, the Star K recommends it in that way. Refrigerator and freezer. So obviously, it don't have to be koshered. You know, we don't use it with anything
right.
hot. So you clean them well. Refrigerators and freezers have to be cleaned well. And once they're cleaned well, you're really okay. You can use it. Some people cover the shelves. It's really a chumrah. It's not really necessary to make a right to cover the shelves. Some people do that. But that's in terms of the refrigerator and the freezer. If you generally do put hot things on the shelves, then don't do it don't put anything hot there on Pesach. And if you have ice trays, if you have ice trays, just buy new ice trays for Pesach. And if you have an ice machine, so you can use it, just clean it out, empty it out, clean it out, and then you're okay. Any cloth, towels, aprons, gloves, fabric, even
wash.
Tablecloths, make sure that there's no real residue on them, and then wash them with hot water, with a detergent, and they're kosher. That's how you kosher fabric. Hot water and detergent koshers them. A table, clean down the table and cover it. So that's all, just clean it down and cover it, and then it can be used. Things like a high chair, just clean it well. So high chairs sometimes are hard to clean well, but clean the high chair well. And then the tray has to be covered, or just order a new tray for Pesach, you know, but one of those two things. And again, a water cooler with a hot water spout, so it really depends. If you use it for chametz, if people use it for oatmeal or chametz, so then you should not kosher it. But if you just use it for coffee or for tea, or something like that, so then just run hot water through it for 10-15 seconds, pour boiling water over it, and then you can use it. So that's pretty much it for cleaning and koshering. Any questions? Yeah. Okay, so we'll
stop
here. Shkoyach, thank you for coming.